Hi, my name is Jared. I'm not a therapist. I'm not a doctor. I'm not even halfway there. But whoa, I'm living on a prayer. No, I'm just a Christian who, like many, lives with a mental health challenge. This is Bless This Brain. Self-care. I like it. I'm a big fan. Because I think it's something that many of us largely neglect. And we do so to our own detriment. But I think it's important that we define what self-care isn't. Because if we don't, we may find our self-care is actually, on some level, self-damage. How do I know? Like most mistakes one can make on the path of mental health recovery, I've done it. So, what isn't self-care? Number one, self-care isn't constant consumption of passive entertainment. Going straight for the jugular, media. I love it. I'm a huge fan of good movies and television. I could listen to music for hours. I could scroll through funny memes until my eyes begin to bleed. I love entertainment. Who doesn't? It's fun to lose yourself in a story, or to feel the emotions that come from a particularly effective song, or to conquer a bad guy in a video game. But when does entertainment become self-inflicting damage? I'm not going to give you a specific amount of hours that you're allowed, because I don't think it's a time issue, it's an intent issue. What is the purpose of your media consumption? And is that purpose actually causing you more harm than good? It could be, and is often, for the pursuit of pleasure. Pleasure isn't bad, but pleasure that's derived purely from forms of passive entertainment, or from less passive but still inconsequential, say, video games, these can't be the only ways we derive pleasure. They're certainly some of the easiest, but those that are a little more difficult will often provide a much greater reward. I think of cooking. I love cooking with real ingredients, trying new recipes, using copious amounts of butter. This generally creates a large number of dishes that need to be washed, and that sucks. It also requires time, which I may not have a lot of. It also has the potential to go wrong. Many a smoke alarm has been triggered in my house, but the many times that it turns out right, all the effort, all the recipe research, the shopping, the slicing, the dicing, sautéing and baking and waiting, well, it's worth it. Because I get to taste something I haven't tasted before. I derive pleasure from doing something I value, such as mastering something and providing food for my family. If my evening is so filled with entertainment, I might miss out on the joy that is honey habanero pork chops, or the pleasure of hearing my kids say, "This is the best thing ever." As another example, I think of relationships. Relationships are hard. They take time to cultivate. And when given the choice to simply opt out of anything social, or push through and spend time with the people I care about, whether it's friends or family or new acquaintances, I miss out on the reward that is deepening connections with others, that is community, that is fellowship. I could easily, I mean easily, I love it, veg out in front of the film The Darkest Hour for the 30th time and miss out on a birthday party or a dinner or a board game with family. And I've done that. But I'm always surprised by what happens when I don't. When I push through the fear, the anxiety, the ambivalence, and just do it anyway. That's self-care. So what is that for you? What is the hard thing that requires turning off the TV or setting down the phone? That thing that takes up some time, some effort, but reflects an appreciation of the things you value. Is it hiking? Is it making art? Is it cooking? Whatever it is, does doing it feel more like self-care than not doing it? Number two, self-care isn't constantly doing the hard things and never enjoying the easy things. But Jared, you just said... I know what I just said, but hear me out. Sometimes we never allow ourselves to sit down for a moment and take in a good TV show or a movie or play a video game for fear that we're wasting our lives away. The pendulum swings so far the other way that we go from never doing anything of value to always doing something. We become consumed with self-improvement. We only cook whole meals from fresh ingredients every night of the week, when maybe it would be okay to just order the occasional pizza. We exercise every day, multiple times a day, when perhaps our body is telling us to take a little break and recover. We never enjoy a good novel because the only books worth reading are the ones that make us a better father, mother, neighbor, employee, Christian, and so on. Rest. You might have heard it looks different for everyone, and it's kind of true, but I would also say it's kind of not. Not in the most literal definition of the term. You see, rest is ceasing work, ceasing movement. That's not just what the dictionary says. Look up what words we interpret as rest in scripture, and you'll find definitions like cease activity, stop moving, get sleep, be quiet. Some of you need to just pop some popcorn, prop your feet up, watch a little Better Call Saul or the Carol Burnett Show, and maybe drift off for a little nap. Just don't do it all the time. Number three, self-care isn't all about you. Love God and love others, the commandments summed up in their simplest forms. These are the commandments that, when followed, reorient us, taking us from the path that the world follows and aligning us with the mission and vision of God. Self-care is least effective when the goal is ultimately our own good pleasure or our own rest, our own preservation. Try it. Care for yourself to the best of your ability and leave God out of it and leave others out of it. And you'll find yourself wishing for something more. You'll land in a bit of an existential crisis. At least that was my experience. Is this all there is? Do what's good for me and then die? Self-care needs a higher purpose. One that calls us to love and nourish ourselves to the glory of God and for the good of others. How? When it comes to loving God, self-care, be it rest, recreation, spiritual, physical, is the act of caring for that which is made in the image of God. That's right. When we treat ourselves with love, kindness, and care, we are aligned with the God who loves us, treats us with kindness, and cares for us. We're on the same page as God. When we treat ourselves poorly, we treat what He treasures poorly. That's not to say that we shouldn't pour ourselves out in pursuit of righteousness or be willing to sacrifice in an act of love, but we can't pour out from a vessel full of cracks and holes. When we rest, when we Sabbath, we honor the Lord by obeying Him and caring for His creation. When it comes to loving others, we can't love when we treat ourselves with hatred. Have you ever met someone who treats themselves horribly but others well? I have. Do they do it out of love? Not that I can see. They often do it out of obligation or fear. Fear of rejection, fear of spiritual punishment, not love. And we see the results of it. Broken, burdened minds, weariness. These people sometimes break. There is a concept of lover of self that is specific to individuals whose self-care is only pointed inwardly, whose orientation is born purely of self-interest and with no regard for God or neighbor. That's not good. But that doesn't mean that to love oneself is a sin. In fact, Jesus Himself tells us in Matthew that we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. The implication there is that our love for others is modeled by the way we care for ourselves. Self-care isn't constant consumption of passive entertainment. It's not constantly doing the hard things and never enjoying the easy things. And it's not all about you. Self-care is the act of nourishing and cherishing God's creation for the purpose of better fulfilling God's beautiful mission. It is holy work, and those who pursue it with this purpose in mind do no wrong. Take care of yourself. Lord, for our good and for your glory, bless this brain. Thanks for listening. If you found this episode helpful, consider following, rating, and reviewing wherever you listen. That'll help people find the podcast. And if you're interested in the services that we offer at Bless This Brain, everything from mental health first aid trainings for churches to remote and in-person peer support groups and much, much more, just visit blessthisbrain.com. Until next time.